This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When I met you in the summer.
It's summertime, 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 summertime.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Welcome to the Equity Mates Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Sharesies. Over 12 episodes, we're deep diving into some of the most exciting, interesting, and well-known companies from Australia and the US. Each episode, we're also joined by an expert to help us unpack the key metrics, the bull case, and the bear case for each company. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you?
I'm very good, Bryce. Great to be here. Great to be talking about a company that many of us know. Well, many of us were obsessed with, some of us, you, made a lot of money on.
Yeah.
Afterpay.
Afterpay. What was Afterpay, which is now Block.
Well, yeah.
Block bought Afterpay.
Yeah, there we go.
Block bought Afterpay. But yesterday we are diving into Block, co-listed on the ASX and over in the United States. And our expert in the second half of this episode is Harrison Moot from TDM Growth Partners, who covers the stock as an equity analyst. So really excited to get him on to help us unpack it. There is a lot going on when it comes to Block. The Equity Mates Summer Series is proudly supported by Sharesies. The Sharesies platform was awarded a 2022 Canstar Innovation Excellence Award, with the judges saying the platform is, quote, unique with a significant wow factor as it reduces barriers to entry for new investors. And the second reason is that the platform is easy and approachable, especially with the auto invest feature, where you can now truly execute dollar cost averaging into Australian, US and New Zealand markets. You can now download the Sharesies app or visit sharesies.com.au to learn more. And if you'd like $10 in your account to get started, use promo code GROW when you sign up. Promotion T's and C's apply.
Important to stress that that is an Equity Mates exclusive promo code and we don't get commission or anything if you use it. Just gets you $10 in your account. But Bryce, final thing of this ever-growing intro, we are not experts, we are licensed, but we're not familiar with your personal financial circumstances. Nothing in this part of the episode or when Harrison comes on should be taken as anything more than general advice. Mm.
All right. Well, Ren, we've started each of these episodes with a sentence describing what the company does. So how do we explain Block?
A technology company that is trying to expand access to the economy.
Okay. Okay.
Not bad?
Yeah, it sounds like it's trying to change the world.
Well, isn't every company trying to change the world in their own small
yes,
way?
Yes.
Equity Mates trying to change the world in its own small way?
I guess so. What about...
Name a company that isn't trying to change the world.
Candle makers.
They're trying to light the world.
No offense to any candle makers out there. Lawn mowers.
They're trying to keep the world neat and tidy.
Facebook.
That's an easy one. Trying to connect the world in the metaverse.
There is a number of facets to Block that we will unpack that I think shed light on that sentence. But let's start at the top. It was co-founded by Jack Dorsey and Jim McKelvey in 2010. Now, Jack Dorsey rings a bell.
I'll explain Jack Dorsey. You explain Jim McKelvey.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, neither, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, what about Jack? We've all heard of Jack.
Yeah. Co-founder of Twitter, co-founder of Square,
Yeah.
Changed his name to Block.
Yeah.
Bitcoin obsessed.
Big Bitcoin guy. Yeah. Started after Dorsey saw that small merchants couldn't take credit card payments. So at the time, Block was a payments platform.
It was Square.
Square.
So most people know it as Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In essence.
People will have all seen it. They may not be aware that they've seen it, but the white tile that you see at cafes, at stalls, that the white credit card reader tile that you can plug into a phone or an iPad or anything like that, or you can plug it into a computer, that is their core product.
Yeah. Pretty good. It's a pretty good product.
Yeah.
I must say.
Yeah.
Listed in 2015, and in 2018, they start expanding. They bought Weebly for $365 million in stock. Rings a bell.
Does it?
Yeah.
I think it's also, yeah, it's a web hosting service.
Weebly.
No, but it's double A.
Yeah, Weebly. Anyway, in 2020, when Square put 1% of its assets into Bitcoin. Ooh. That's not good.
I don't reckon that's even their worst acquisition.
Bitcoin. What is their worst acquisition?
Well, maybe Afterpay.
In 2021.
If Afterpay would have followed a similar trajectory to Zip, Zip has fallen further than Bitcoin.
Yes. Yeah, the Afterpay fans.
Anyway, we'll get to that. We're only in 2020.
Nailed it, yes. So in 2021, they acquired Jay-Z's streaming service, Tidal, for $297 million. Haven't heard much about that since.
No. Yeah. We'll get to the analysis of the company. Let's just get through the history.
Okay, and then in 2021, they changed its name to Block Inc. H&R Block subsequently sues them for copyright infringement.
H&R Block, their tax preparation software. Yeah.
Successfully? I don't know. And then their SEO in Australia, not great. They're getting beaten by Daily Mail articles about the Block.
Yeah, that's not so much a company history fact of their business. That's just more, if you're a technology company, you can't be getting beaten by the Daily Mail and SEO in their articles about the Block.
For those listening overseas, the Block is a reality TV renovation show.
Yes, yeah. The Daily Mail is a trash online publication that we hope to one day get featured in.
Yes. And then finally in 2022, they completed the acquisition of Afterpay for a staggering $39 billion in stock. And congrats to Nick Molnar and I can't even remember
Anthony
that.
Anthony Eisen.
Anthony Eisen. What a moment.
You got to know when to sell. Nailed
that sale.
Yeah, full credit.
So where does that leave us today?
So before we talk about the company today, because it is now like a family of businesses, and that's why they changed their name from Square to Block. Mm-hmm. I just want to note that on the investor relations website, they make no mention of Afterpay in the description of the business.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they just tucked it away?
I don't know. They spent $39 billion in stock. Well, $39 billion in stock at 2021 prices. Yeah.
Wow.
Update your website.
Or be proud of your acquisitions. Yeah. Anyway. The company as it stands today has multiple parts to it, and the core of it is Square, which is their point of sale or POS system and credit card processor. As Ren said, it's that small little white tile that plugs into phones, tablets. You would have seen it at coffee shops and allows people to just, I guess, seamlessly pay without having to have a fully integrated point of sale system. So they've really opened that up.
Yeah.
Currently in 8 countries, and they accept 130 different currencies.
Yeah. And I think this was where this story is where Jack Dorsey became such a Bitcoin believer. There's this video of him going around speaking at an all hands meeting for Square back when it was just Square and explaining how difficult it has been to roll Square out and to integrate it into each different country's banking system and financial regulation, and the merits of a global currency that would allow like true cross-border transactions and truly globalized financial services businesses. And you can understand if the past decade of your life has been spent dealing with financial regulators in country after country after country, you can start to see the merits of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because it is interesting that the ability to accept 130 currencies happened really quickly, because that's like a technical and business model challenge, but the actual expanding into those countries is a regulatory challenge. And they're at 130 currencies and they're only at 8 countries. And that just shows how the pace of business and technological development moves so much faster than the pace of regulatory acceptance.
Yeah, yeah.
That really opened my eyes to where Dorsey is coming from.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit different to like an Anthony Pompiliano or a Preston Pierce.
Yeah. Google them if you're unsure who they are.
Or just save yourself the time.
So big part of the business is the point of sale square. But then the second sort of big chunky part is their cash app, which really is building on what you've just spoken about further, Ren, enabling mobile-to-mobile transfers of money, you to me, kind of similar to what Beemit's doing here in Australia in some way.
I was actually having this conversation with someone a couple of days ago. I think, so Venmo and Cash App, two big ones over in the US that really took mobile and made mobile-to-mobile transfers in the US. I reckon the big banks in Australia saw that and were like, we don't want someone else doing it, so we'll do it.
And that's where Beemit came
from. Yeah, because Beemit's owned by the banks.
Yeah. For those that are unaware, Beemit is awesome. Get on it if you don't have it.
It's pretty awesome. Even my parents are now on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're discovering.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's an app that allows you to transfer money without going into your bank accounts. It is done through mobile, so you just plug in your contacts' mobile numbers and you can seamlessly transfer money.
Oh, you know what? Sorry. It was set up by the major banks, but FPOST bought it in 2020.
Oh, okay. There you go. So 36 million monthly active customers in 2020 on the Cash app, and they've expanded to offer crypto and stock trading beyond just transfers of money. And they now also issue debit cards with accounts and looking to allow users to borrow small sums of money up to $200.
So they're basically building out a bank.
A mini bank. Yeah.
A digital bank. A digital bank.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is the point.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got Square, we've got Cash App, Afterpay, buy now, pay later.
I mean, I feel like most people listening are familiar with the buy now, pay later business model and Afterpay.
Yep.
Square bought it for $39 billion and it was at the top of the market, but $39 billion in stock. You can shave about 70% off that price because Block's New York Stock Exchange share price is down about 70%.
Ooh.
Now, interesting nuance. Why is Block's Australian share price only down 50%?
Currency.
Yeah. US dollar is strong.
Yeah.
Nice.
Next question.
All right. So we've got Square. We've got Cash App. We've got Afterpay. What else have we got?
Tidal, subscription music streaming service, acquisition.
Meant to be fairer to artists?
Fairer to artists. Haven't used it.
No.
Haven't heard much about it. Don't know how, like, it doesn't feel like it's pushing up against Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube, but that was from Jay-Z, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jay-Z started it, yeah.
They've got their web hosting service, Weebly, and then TBD is another business service.
Yes.
They're building an open developer platform to make it easier to access Bitcoin and blockchain technologies over the place.
And it's called TBD, yeah.
Block development something?
No. I think it's like to be decided.
Oh.
It's like an edgy tech name, I think. Yeah.
TBD.
Yeah.
And then Spiral, formerly Square Crypto, builds and funds free open source projects that advance the use of Bitcoin as a tool for economic empowerment. Dorsey's views on Bitcoin coming through in multiple parts of the business.
So Square, Cash App, Afterpay, Tidal, Weebly, TBD, Spiral. 7 business units. Connect them for me. How does this make sense?
Payments, Cash App, Afterpay all make sense. Tidal, payments, I guess, all make sense. The rest couldn't do it.
Okay.
I think blockchain maybe you could underlie it all with blockchain on payments on top of blockchain.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. The streaming service, I have no idea.
As I was trying to think, I can't get the web hosting service into it.
Yeah.
That one I can't quite, but everything else you could say they want to build the future of the economy and they want to make it more open and more accessible. But that, but really, from a business point of view, they want to have, they want to own every facet of it. They want a digital bank. They want to process payments. They want to be your credit provider.
Bank.
Yeah.
But it could be your setup.
No. You know how like you bank with Commonwealth Bank, but your credit card is like Qantas Rewards or American Express. You know, like they're often separate businesses. They want to be both, which is how Afterpay comes into it. And then they want to be on the forefront of wherever blockchain fits into the new financial ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's sort, I guess, like if you think of them as they're building like the next generation of bank, you can start to see how these businesses all fit together.
Yeah.
And then you ask how Tidal fits into that. They want to have a foothold in the creator economy. Yeah, that's what Spotify and stuff all talk about. On their investor relations overview in Tidal, they talk about it, how it gives artists the tools to succeed as entrepreneurs. So maybe as like creators become more businesses, I mean like we're an example of that, maybe it's like they want to sit in that world somehow.
Potentially. Time will only tell.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's keep moving.
So I just want to call out that on their website, they list expanding access to the economy. Block Inc. is Square, Cash App, Spiral, Tidal, TBD, and our foundational teams such as Council, Finance, and People. Afterpay not mentioned that?
No.
Like they literally mention their legal counsel team, yeah, but they don't mention... And then they list Square, Help Sellers, blah, 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 Cash App, Spiral, Tidal, TBD. Together we're working to build our diverse audiences, sellers, individuals, artists, fans, developers, and all the people in between overcome barriers to access the economy. Update your investor relations page. Put the pride of Australia, Afterpay, front and centre.
They're obviously not proud of it.
Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting note.
Yeah.
So let's drill down on Square because there's a number of aspects of this business that are all in different stages of growth, but I think Square is the engine here. Square is the really impressive story and Square is where a conversation about Block should start. And we talk about Square as the little payments processor, the point of sale, but they've built out a full suite of products under the Square business. I think we've actually done some ads for them with like their HR software and timesheets and stuff like that. It's basically they want to be the go-to resource for small and medium-sized businesses around the world, well, in the 8 countries that they operate in. And, you know, they do some financing of invoices and they have a whole bunch of HR stuff and scheduling. They have point of sale, obviously. And the story of Square is a really impressive story where they get a foothold with the payments processor and then they cross-sell and they sell you as the small or medium-sized business into all these other services that they offer under the Square business. So from a recent presentation, 40% of the gross profit from the Square business comes from sellers that use 4 or more of their monetized products.
Nice.
So that's just a story of cross-selling. They've got this chart that goes from 2015 to 2021 and looks at the amount of users and how many products they use, 1, 2, 3, or 4 plus. In 2015, call it about 60-65% of their users was only using one product. By 2018, it was maybe 30%. By 2021, it's maybe 15%. In that same time, 4 plus. In 2015, it was less than 10% were using 4 plus products. Now it's just shy of 50%.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if there's any way to keep customers, it's to continue to integrate as many processes as possible.
Get them hooked on your ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah, and so they've done well. And this really leads to the conversation of where the company sees its future. And it's no doubt that growing that ecosystem, more business units, well, not only the ecosystem within Square, but I think the ecosystem that they're building from a business unit point of view is no doubt where this company seems to be going.
You could think of it as a two-sided marketplace in some ways where Square is trying to help small and medium-sized businesses, and then the Cash App and Afterpay is trying to get the customers, and Square tries to be the integration point.
The middle.
Yeah.
So they're looking to increase penetration in the US and launch some of their products outside because Cash App's not available outside of the US at the moment.
I don't believe so. Yeah,
it's just in the US.
I mean, you'd be foolish to come to Australia now.
Yeah, hey guys.
Beamer owns the market. They're the three things. On growing the ecosystem, that's where I guess the Bitcoin conversation comes into it a little bit. They certainly see Bitcoin as a key pillar of their future. In some of their decks, they talk about Bitcoin wallets, Bitcoin mining, TBD they just list there, which is just non-descriptive as you can get out. And then, so crypto is a key focus for them.
Mm.
And then creators they mention with Tidal.
Okay, so that's expanding ecosystem.
I think implicit in that is just getting getting Square into more than 8 countries as well.
All right, so what about US increasing US penetration? They currently reach less than 20% of the US population.
Yeah, and this
so
is, this
huge
is mainly,
opportunity.
This is mainly looking at Cash App. 20% of Gen Z use them, 17% of millennials, 10% of Gen X, and 4% of baby boomers. So every category there has potential. I guess Venmo is bigger. That's the other one you hear about in the US.
Yeah.
But they have potential to grow all of those things. Also, if you just look at those, like as the world gets older and there are, you know, Generation Alpha comes through, baby boomers, there are less of them, that shift will work in their favor.
Yeah, of course. You know? Yeah. As more tech savvy people come on.
Yeah.
And then the third is expanding outside the US. Back in 2018, their Q3 numbers in terms of percentage of Square's gross profit coming from outside the US, it was only 5%. That has grown over the last 4 years to 15%, but still with 15% coming outside US, still plenty of opportunity to expand overseas.
Huge. And like 15%, but the raw numbers as well, 13 million of their gross profit in 2018, Q3 2018, 121 million in Q3 2022. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the numbers, Ren. Market cap of $38 billion. It is down, well, I think we said at the top of the show, about 70% now year to date. Was that right?
73% year to date.
73%.
69% over the past year.
So it's up 66% in the past 5 years. So from 2017 through to COVID, it roared up 120%, but then got hit during the COVID crash of February and March in 2020, down 54%. It was then up 622% between March 2020 and August 2020 when everything was just ripping post-COVID.
Everything, but especially not profitable tech companies.
Oh, my goodness, up 622% and then down 77% from there to today.
Yeah, put a pin in that not profitable tech companies. We'll get there.
Okay, and so for those keeping scores, after all that, it is 66% over the past 5 years, down 24% from February 2020, right before the COVID crash.
A lot of numbers there. The key takeaway is it's US tech stock that is highly correlated to the fortunes of all the other tech stocks, and it was a big winner in the boom and it's been a big loser in the bust.
That's it. So revenue, $17.7 billion. 5 years ago, it was only $1.7 billion, up 933% over the past 5 years. And their year-on-year revenue growth numbers have been very, very impressive. Nothing to shy away from. Would love to see this in your business. So back from 2012, which is where we get data from, we had 2012 to 13, 172% revenue growth, 54% the following year, 49%, 35%, 30%, 49%, 43%, 102%, and then 86%.
Not bad.
Year-on-year revenue growth numbers.
Yeah.
And Ren, is it profitable?
Surprisingly, it is profitable. 166 million in profit. So what, that's like a 1% profit margin still. Better than many of its tech peers, but it's actually been profitable for the last 3 years, all through the COVID period. So 2019, it returned $375 million in profit, 2020, $213 million in profit, 2021, $166 million in profit.
Nice.
So going the wrong way.
So it is going the wrong way, but it is still a profitable tech company.
Yeah. It was making losses before that, obviously, but it's a really impressive story.
It is, Ren. And we are excited to have an expert joining us very shortly to help us unpack it. Is there anything you wanted to close out with before we get Harrison in?
No, I think let's get the expert in and talk about the company as an investment option rather than what the company does.
Love it. Well, Block is listed on the ASX. SQ2 is the ticker here in Australia. It is also listed over on the New York Stock Exchange with the ticker SQ, dual listed. You can access the US stock market plus the Australian and New Zealand markets on the Sharesies platform with no investment minimum. Use promo code GROW when you sign up to the Sharesies platform for $10 in your account, ready to invest. All investing involves risk. This is not a recommendation and you should perform your own research. Promo T's and C's apply. So Ren, we'll leave it there. We have hit the end of our episode now. Traditionally, we have been bringing in an expert on the other side of the break, but our conversation with our expert for Block, Harrison Moot from TDN Growth Partners, was so enjoyable that we've actually split it into a second episode. So it will be available in your feed now, but if you want to hear the bull case and bear case on Block from Harrison, tune into that. A shout out to Sharesies for sponsoring the Equity Mates Summer Series. Download the Sharesies app or visit sharesies.com.au to learn more. But Ren will be picking it up with Harrison in the next episode.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License 540697.